up, we have Lindsay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jimmy, for putting this all together. I really appreciate it. As Jimmy said, my name is Lindsay Iglesias. I'm a PhD student at the University of Florida. I have been, conducting research on spotted wing Drosophila for the past about 3.5 years. And today I really want to give you the status of SWD in Florida and kind of give you an overview of some of the things that we've been doing to combat this pest. So first, I'm just going to give you an overview of Florida's small fruit industry and how SWD fits into that. Also give you the philosophy of Florida for integrated pest management. We're going to look also at some research, so the survey to detect where we have spotted wing in the state. We're going to look at some of the alternative hosts that we've found, monitoring techniques that we're looking into, as well as management and some outreach. So first, Florida's small fruit industry is comprised of four main crops, including grapes, which I won't talk about today. But strawberry is the biggest market that we have. We're the second largest producer of strawberries in the United States behind California. There's about 8,500 acres, of which 95% or so of that is located within about a 50-mile radius of Plant City, Florida, which is just about 45 minutes south about from here. There's also about $267 million industry in Florida in strawberries, so we are keeping up with California. The blueberry market is much smaller. However, we provide almost 80% of the early market blueberries that are in the United States. There's about 4,300 acres that spanned within the central ridge of Florida, and it's about a $76 million industry. When it comes to blackberries, we are a little low on some yield data. However, from what we've seen is the blackberry industry is growing, and specifically in organic production. So SWD was first detected in Florida in 2009 in Hillsborough County, right in the center of the strawberry belt. At that time, it was probably confirmed and unconfirmed reports of spotted wing in about 28 counties, which you can see in the red, and you can see that the small fruit industry really overlaps with a lot of these locations. And with Florida's near year-round growing season and a lot of the concerns that Ash talked about, such as rapid development time and the female's ability to deposit hundreds of eggs in her lifetime, it's a big concern for Florida. So as Ash detailed greatly, the female lays her eggs in the fruit, causes direct injury to the marketable part of our crop. The eggs develop in the berry, causing this wrinkled, unmarketable fruit, as you see here, and we've estimated losses in Florida and blueberries about 10 to 15%, which is almost 8 to about 12 million U.S. dollars. The economic losses in strawberries have yet to be quantified, and we're looking into blackberries as well. So Florida's philosophy on pest management is integrated pest management. It's called IPM for those who are not familiar. And it's an ecosystem-based strategy that we look to help prevent these pests and the injury that they cause and by using a combination of different techniques. And it's those techniques that really drive the research in Florida to try and combat this pest. And so those are the things that we're going to be talking about today, such as surveying, monitoring, the threshold, and management. And then finally, I'm going to talk about research, and it's really important in IPM because if we don't disseminate the information, we don't collaborate with our stakeholders, then what's it all for? So first, we needed to understand where SWD was in Florida and how what the outlook is. And we've received many reports from blueberry growers in Florida, and that's where the most concern comes from, and so that's where we focused our surveys. So we conducted a survey in 14 different farms, blueberry farms, throughout the main blueberry growing regions in Florida. In 2012, it was 9 counties. 13 and 14, we had 8 counties. We continue to do this next year. We deploy traps that are exactly what Ash was talking about, the clear plastic cup with the holes along the rim, and at the time we were using apple cider vinegar. And what we found is that spotted wing is present in all of these locations. They're present in all of the blueberry locations, except for this southernmost county of DeSoto, which is about down by where Lake Okeechobee is. So we haven't found it down there. You can see clearly Citrus County, which is located in the central part of the state, has had consistently high numbers. One of the major concerns is for our organic growers. As Ash said, they're limited with their tools available to them to control this pest, and Citrus County has a lot of organic blueberries. The other issue with that they're facing in Citrus County is that there's multiple growers that are growing multiple host crops in succession, and so they have the risk of increasing SWD populations, for example, in strawberries before the blueberry season occurs. So we're going to continue this, of course, in 2015 and see how some of these numbers change. 2014 was the first time we did an official survey in strawberries. They're all within that strawberry belt, I call it. Plant City, Florida, we looked at one farm. You can see the numbers were about 15 flies per trap per week. Right here is where the grower has implemented some control actions, so they were successful at reducing SWD population. On the right, this is in Bradford County, and this is six different farms, and you can see that they're consistently low, but that they are present in these farms, and we're very interested to see how this will look in the 2014-15 season. So one of the interesting things that we found during the survey in blueberries was that there were SWD present in the field, but also in the surrounding areas. And so what Dr. Nyoke, a postdoc in our field or in our lab, did was that she surveyed both the field where the blueberries were located and the surrounding areas. And what she found was that there were significantly more SWD captured in the surrounding areas throughout the entire blueberry season than there were in the fields themselves. So, which is an interesting prospect, and we do know now, and we're hypothesizing that they're probably coming in from the surrounding areas, which I think is what most researchers are looking into. With some of the alternative hosts that we found that were common in those areas were wild blackberry, which I think is present up where Jimmy's located, up pretty much everywhere. There's a lot of that in Florida. We also have holly in the ilex genus, and we have nightshade as well. And all of these are fruiting at the time that the blueberries are fruiting. So they're providing wild alternative hosts for these flies while they're in the surrounding areas. Now, monitoring is critical, as Ash was discussing, in that monitoring tells us when SWD shows up, how it's distributed in the field, and it justifies these control actions that the growers need to take in order to control this pest. And so while using a trap and lure system, we're seeing a lot of similar traps out there. A lot of people are testing a lot of different things. But what we're looking for is we need an effective trap that will capture a lot of SWD, especially for mass trapping. We need specifically SWD, so that will reduce the processing time where you don't have to search through a lot of non-target organisms in your trap. We also need something that captures it early, and we need something that's economically feasible, so something that's inexpensive and durable that'll last through the season. And so we are using the same plastic cup trap right now that I discussed in the survey, but we're doing some bait studies as well. And we looked at four different bait formulations: apple cider vinegar, which has been the standard. It's easy to use and inexpensive. We also looked at a red wine rice vinegar mixture. This is the Drosky drink, which is ACV, which is apple cider vinegar, red wine, and sugar, and then a yeast sugar water mixture here. And as you can see, the yeast sugar water has captured significantly more than the red wine mixture and the apple cider vinegar, which is the standard. In a second experiment that we conducted, it was similar, but instead of the Drosky drink, we looked at the fermenting bait that Ash discussed in his talk, which is yeast, flour, sugar, apple cider vinegar, and other components. And again, we see that these yeast products are capturing significantly more SWD than the vinegar products that we found. However, we didn't see a difference between the yeast sugar and then the fermenting bait that they found in the multi-state study. But these baits are capturing a lot of SWD, and they're capturing them early. However, they're not specific. And so we wanted to look at different commercially available baits that are supposed to be specific for SWD, so it reduces that time for processing. And Dr. Nyoke just finished this, so I don't have the data for you, but she's looking at lures that are in tablet form that are specific for, I believe these might be the Trace lures, and you drop them in soapy water and then use them in the field. And then the Suzuki Eye trap, which comes to us from Spain, which is a liquid bait that doesn't have to be replaced in the field. You can just simply sift out the specimens and then add more liquid to your trap. And it looks like this on the left when you put it out, and then about a week later, it's this dark molasses-type color. And she tested these against the yeast sugar water mixture, and what she found was that these two specific traps are indeed specific, and that she's capturing well into the 90% of only SWD. However, the yeast sugar water is still capturing more. We're not sure yet which one captured earliest, so we're going to look at that, and the results will be interesting as soon as those come out. She's also looking at a commercially available trap design, which is similar to the one that we're using. However, it has a mesh hole instead of the individual holes around the rim of the trap, and those results will be interesting as well. So for management of SWD, as Ash said, preventative measures, cultural control, we're really recommending that. So sanitation, short harvest intervals to get that fruit material out of the field so that there's less host material for SWD to multiply. And then, of course, chemical controls. And any time with an invasive species, your chemical control tends to be your first line of defense because you need something now. And so that's really what we're working with, and we're recommending good programs for our growers based on chemical control tools. There are quite a few tools available to our conventional growers, as Ash said. We have a list, and this is by no means complete, but there's quite a few available effective products for conventional growers. And again, we have one really successful effective product for organic, which is Entrust. However, for rotational purposes, there's Pyganic. So we're constantly looking for new products. There was a laboratory study conducted by Dr. Nyoke, and she looked at Exeril, which has been shown to be effective, Mustang, which is an industry standard, Hero, which is a new product. It's a combination of zetacypermethrin, which is in Mustang, and then bifenthrin. And then she looked at three different organic treatments, so Pyganic and then No-Fly at two different rates, which is a fungal spore formulation. And what she found was what we expected, and that the three commercial, Hero, Mustang, and Exeril, also known as Cyazypyr, which is the group, were effective and provided at least 75% mortality of SWD after 24 hours, and then upwards of 90 to 95% for these three conventional products after 48 hours. And these are the conventional products. As you can see, there's no difference between, or I'm sorry, the organic products. There's no difference between those in mortality and the control. After both 24 and 48 hours. We see the same pattern with larval recovery. We show low numbers of larvae recovered from berries in the conventional products and no differences with the control in the organic products. We had an additional field study that was conducted in blueberries this year to try and test out a new product by the name of Apta. We tested it against multiple known industry effective compounds. So Danitol at two rates, Entrust, which is labeled for organic, Mustang, and Malathion. And we show that in this very busy graph that there is no significant differences between the treatments each week. And so what that tells us is that we have another new product that is showing to be as effective as industry standards. So we're adding another product to the conventional growers, whereas we're still struggling for our organic growers. And as Ash said, you know, resistance is a big issue for this particular pest because it can develop so rapidly, and we're spraying a lot of insecticides in order to combat it. And so Dr. Nyoke did a study where she looked at different rotational programs. The first five are all conventional products, reduce risk conventional products. Number six is an Entrust Pyganic rotation and then against a control. And the way that these were organized is that the longer pre-harvest interval compounds were sprayed at the beginning of the season, and then as peak blueberry harvest came into the season, we started using the insecticides with the lower PHIs. And what she found was that they were all effective. And so we're using rotational programs with effective products, and that they were all effective at reducing SWD. However, you see the control where they were significantly different from the control. So we have rotational programs that we can recommend for our growers in Florida. Okay. We conducted a border spray study. I'll talk about this quickly because the data has not been analyzed yet. It just finished about 2 days ago. So this was in organic blackberries, and we're looking at trying to apply a border spray around the area at the beginning of the season to create a barrier that will help reduce migration of SWD from surrounding areas into the field. And then we're combining that with a clean cultivation technique. And the theory behind that is that there's a lot of berry drop in the small fruit industry, whether it's from irrigation, rain, pesticide sprays, and they roll off of these mounded blueberry and blackberry plantings, and they land in the center of the field. So the idea behind the clean cultivation is that we could possibly bury some of this material and see if we can reduce emergence to the next generation, and we'll see how those results come out. And then finally, just to go over some of the outreach activities that we've been doing. We do quite a few workshops. We'll conduct quite a few workshops and trainings in the state of Florida. For example, the fruit growers workshop we just finished in March of this year in Alachua County, and we conducted something similar to what we'll see after my talk is over, where we do training on SWD identification, demonstrations of traps and constructing these traps, and helping with sample processing. We're also very involved with a lot of the industry and organizational meetings, so strawberry and blueberry growers associations, to try and understand different perspectives and the different stakeholders that are involved in this issue. Lots of online publications that go beyond referee journals. We include EDIS, which is UF IFAS electronic database. We publish a lot of SWD work in EDIS, also farm notes and a lot of organizational publications, so such as quarterly magazines. Grower visits, of course, occur throughout the year. That's one of my favorite parts of my job, to be honest. And we do SWD training as well as demonstrations for monitoring and help process samples and make recommendations. And then finally, this is something that I really wanted to talk about, and it's a Protect Us website, and it is the creation and the work of USDA, UF IFAS, and the Entomology Department, and it's a website that focuses on invasive species, and it contains lectures about those species and also training materials as well. So SWD is on there, and they do constantly get updated, which is my job this year, so the SWD one will be updated with some of the stuff that we've heard today. And just quickly, some of the future work that we're going to look at is we want to continue looking at alternative and wild hosts in the system and the role that they play. We want to look at border sprays, different trap designs and baits, and then we really want to continue looking into this species, which is Zaprianus indianus. It's another invasive species that was first detected in Florida in 2005. It is unlike SWD in that its ovipositor doesn't allow it to lay eggs in ripe fruit, but it is a concern, and we are seeing numbers increasing rapidly in Florida. This is something we want to include. And with that, I'm happy to take questions if we have time.
Yeah, one question.
Okay. Yes.
I've been wondering, I'm from Quebec, Canada, mm-hmm. and Ontario and Quebec are well. Mm-hmm. Very present. Mm-hmm. We do have a nice way of controlling with the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So the population just gets down right at the beginning of each season, and it goes up in mid July and mm-hmm. then up to hundreds of Drosophila in traps.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, in Florida,
mm-hmm.
do you always, if you look at the time series, captures.
Mm-hmm.
Do you capture about the same? Is there any peak during the season, or it's quite constant?
So there's when we look at it over time, there are peaks in SWD captures, and we have been doing a lot of monitoring in blueberries, so I'll use that as my main crop. But we do see a peak right at peak harvest, and then it will continue to drop as the season continues on. So we do see that same similar pattern of population density that most people are seeing. However, we've been fortunate in Florida in that our numbers are not reaching nearly as high as a lot of other locations. I mean, you know, we're not seeing hundreds and hundreds of flies per trap. And we don't know what quite to attribute that to. We don't know if it's the temperatures or we're just not sure. But the numbers right now are fairly low, so it's a little different. And we're also not sure how many generations we're seeing. But we have... We don't have the pleasure of the winter to knock it out, but we have warm months from, March all the way through October, and there's host fruits available. And we have been continually trapping throughout the season. Last year was the first full year that we trapped, and we found them all year long, even through the winter. Do you? Yeah.
Actually, in the southeastern U.S., we trap at SWD year round. Mm-hmm. But in winter, the numbers go down.
Yes.
But it still is there. Mm-hmm. In Georgia, our first catch for this year, 2014, was during the week when we had the worst snowstorm in 30 years. So
okay.
Even if it's now, it's still there.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Okay, we have to move on to our hands-on portion of the workshop. And I want to start off by just kind of doing what Ash did in his videos, which is showing you how to do salt extraction on fruit. So big thanks to Lindsay, who infested fruit for me. These are blueberries that were exposed to spotted-wing Drosophila for 24 hours. And so when you go out into the field, you need to decide which kind of fruit are you going to collect. Do you want to get an assessment of populations, of larval populations in the entire field? So in that case, you would go in and randomly sample throughout the field. But if you just want to look to see if they're there, you would go into hot spots. And by hot spot, I mean somewhere where they've previously been found and probably near alternate hosts that are in the wild. So you collect your fruit, you collect marketable fruit that appears healthy, that might have a little bit of softening to them, but you take that and you just dump that into the bag. And also I have handouts, by the way, for this method and for other, for adult ID and for some application strategies and for monitoring. So I'll let you guys come up after my little demo and check those out. And we have an adult station where we have females and males exposed, and also some imposters, so ones that look like SWD under the scope. And then over here is the salt extraction station. So you can pick and choose or do both, and we have some traps and baits set up for you too. So back to the salt extraction. This method, everyone does it a little bit different. Some people prefer the sugar, some people prefer the boiling method. We like the salt extraction the best. Amy Dries worked on this a lot and created this handout. She's from Oregon State University. So what we recommend is that you kind of not squish them too much, but just kind of softly squeeze the berries so that you're damaging the fruit and making it a little bit easier for the larvae to come out of the fruit. And then you add the salt water. So this is 1 cup of salt, and it's packed, a packed cup of salt, into a gallon of water. And you do this a day before you do your extraction, so that allows the salt to go into solution. And then what you want to do is you want to use a refractometer and check the Brix level, and the ideal Brix level is 10, and that's where we've seen larvae float the easiest. So so then you have your berries that you squish a little bit, and then you pour the salt solution in there, and then you squish them a little more. This is kind of a fun part. And you don't want to mush them too much, or then you get all that pulp in there, and it's hard to tell the larvae from the pulp that way. You get three instars of larvae. So there's the really tiny ones, and then they go up to like eyelash size, I would say. Those are the third instars, and those are easier to see. But you also want to look for those small ones. So a lot of times we'll recommend that you use the dorky entomology goggles. You have your, or you use a little hand lens, or you check them under the scope. But you squish them, and you want to make sure you have really good lighting. So the lighting in here is not very good, so it'll be a little harder to see the small ones. But after you squish them, then you just pour them out into a tray. And we use white trays. We like white trays, but black trays, clear trays work as well. You want to shake the bag a little bit, but not too vigorously, or else you'll get a lot of foam, and you can't really see them when there's too much foam. And so then you just kind of pour them out into the tray, and you want the berries submerged in the salt solution, so then you add a little more salt water, and you grab a little tool, like a knife, or something like this, and you kind of swirl it around, and you wait 15 minutes. And that's 15 minutes. We wait 15 minutes because we've shown that that's where you get most of the larvae to emerge by then. So I already did some of them up here before the workshop started, so they'll be mostly emerged. So please come up and don't be shy. I have some extra berries where you can try the salt extraction method yourself. Lindsay will be over in the adult ID section, so if you have questions about those, check that out. Come on up and look for some larvae. And grab some handouts, too.